Belgium's decision to suspend the country's access to the EU Parliament, warning that it could negatively affect talks on natural gas supplies. Tunisia plunging into political uncertainty, opposition groups call on President Kais Saied to quit following a low turnout in parliamentary elections. Also in the headlines, Israeli settler violence on the rise in the West Bank, a mass incursion into the Al-Aqsa Mosque just hours after a settler runs over two Palestinian brothers. Thanks for joining us. Qatar strongly denies any involvement in a corruption case being investigated by Belgian authorities linked to the European Parliament. Qatar's mission to the EU says the country has been criticized and attacked in the investigation. Doha says it is deeply disappointed that the Belgian government made no effort to engage with it to establish the facts. Belgian authorities have charged four people linked to the EU Parliament, including its Vice President Eva Kaili, over allegations that Qatar lavished them with cash and gifts to influence decision-making. On Thursday, the European Parliament voted to suspend all work on legislation involving Qatar and to bar the country's representatives from its premises. Qatar argues the decision to impose such a discriminatory restriction could negatively impact ties and natural gas supplies. The EU is quite unlikely to take any real action against Qatar, since the bloc needs the Arab countries' energy supplies.
What happened in the European Parliament on Thursday was more or less symbolic in terms of its impact on Qatar and relations with Qatar. What really is interesting to watch is when all the details emerge and transpire from the legal process and the court cases related to this. Well, the reality is, to put it bluntly, is that it's very unlikely that the EU will take any action against Qatar, because at the moment you have individual countries scrambling to try and do deals with Doha in relation to gas, liquefied natural gas. And so the EU at the moment, it's in a very precarious, vulnerable position in terms of taking action or positions in relation to a lot of countries, simply because it's cut Russia out of the whole energy system, and therefore it's very vulnerable. It cannot sort of stand on any more toes, so to speak, in terms of trying to ensure energy security during 2023. So it needs Qatar very much at the moment in terms of an energy supplier. Therefore, it's very unlikely that any action will be taken against Qatar when we get more information. And once again, it just shows the hypocrisy that we see in the EU and double standards. When certain countries are treated immediately, I mean, you can imagine, just for example, if this was a country like Iran or China was involved in this type of thing in the European Parliament, the reaction, it would be just wall-to-wall coverage and condemnation and immediate sanctions, etc., etc. But when it's Saudi Arabia, when it's Israel, when it's Qatar, nothing is done.
On to Tunisia. Tunisia's main opposition coalition calls on President Kais Saied to step down after an overwhelming majority of eligible voters snubbed parliamentary elections. That of the National Salvation Front Alliance says the abstention rate of more than 91% shows that Saied has lost legitimacy. The coalition, which includes the Ennahda Party, also called for mass protests to demand snap presidential elections. Most opposition parties boycotted Saturday's vote, saying that it was part of a coup against Tunisia's democracy, one decade after the ouster of dictator Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. Saied, who was elected in 2019, shut down the parliament last year and changed the constitution so that he could rule by decree. He claimed the moves could save Tunisia from political paralysis and help him tackle economic issues. The head of the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran says the country's enrichment capacity is now twice as high as the total capacity since the early days of the peaceful nuclear industry. Mohammad Islami says a comprehensive document created for the development of domestic industries functions as the basis of Iran's nuclear industry. He emphasized the generation of power by nuclear plants has yielded considerable economic benefits for the Islamic Republic. Tehran has already enriched uranium to 60% purity. The nuclear advances are being made in response to the U.S. 2018 unilateral withdrawal from the Iran deal. Tehran has repeatedly stressed that its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes. We've asked political commentator Scott Bennett how the West is projecting Iran's nuclear program in the eye of the international community. Here's what he had to say.
But the nuclear issue is one of the triggers that they're trying to use to inspire fear into the Western public, age of propaganda. However, we are in a very unique circumstance because, number one, this is a tremendous triumph for Iran. There should be parades and confetti and celebrations and amplification of this victory for Iran's scientific prowess and its political will to be able to press through the propaganda and the hysterics of the West and yield an incredibly valuable and urgently needed scientific breakthrough, and that is the use of nuclear power. And Iran also has a chance to re-engage Europe, who is shivering in the dark corners and freezing to death and starving to death, and say, Europeans, Iranians are leading the way for energy independence, and we want to help and come alongside Europe to help them rediscover the value of nuclear energy.
The Atomic Energy Organization of Iran has unveiled the country's first domestically produced electrostatic particle accelerator that could help boost manufacturing procedures in the country. Yusuf Jalali reports.
The first Iranian-made particle accelerator. The high-tech device produces high-energy beams by accelerating electrons close to the speed of light. Developed by Iran's Nuclear Science and Technology Research Institute, the Dynamitron-type accelerator was unveiled at the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran on Saturday.
We aim to generate 20% of the country's electricity from nuclear energy and the use of radiation technology. We focused on various accelerators and radiation systems, which can serve a wide range of needs in society. It's a technology that improves the health sector and can be used in food security and environmental preservation.
The Iranian accelerator will be used for food irradiation, cable and wire manufacturing, tire industries, sewage treatment, and sterilization of medical devices. The AEOI says the machine will also be employed in treating cancer patients.
The applications of this technology are numerous. But compared to developed countries, we have stepped into the field of particle accelerators about 50 years later. In fact, we have possessed this technology for a long time, but it was limited to research purposes.
Particle accelerators were first invented in the 1960s to study high-energy particle collisions, but it didn't take scientists long to notice their byproduct, and that is an extremely bright light that can be used in investigating the structure of crystals and proteins, monitoring air pollution, studying disease mechanisms, HD imaging, and cancer radiation therapy, among other applications.
With a wide range of applications, from medicine to agriculture, the homegrown accelerator, as put by its developers, will transform different industries in Iran. Experts here say for sanctions hit Iran, building such a high-tech device is more than an achievement, but a miracle. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
It's time now for the news review of this bulletin. Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has condemned the latest raid on Al-Aqsa Mosque by Israeli settlers. Hamas says such incursions are provocative and very dangerous. The movement has urged Palestinians to mobilize immediately in defense of Al-Aqsa Mosque. The resistance movement stressed that the Palestinian nation will make sure to protect the mosque under any circumstances, warning Israel of the consequences of raids on the holy site. In the meantime, an Israeli settler has killed two Palestinian brothers in the occupied West Bank. The settler ran over them while they were fixing a broken tire. He has fled the scene. There has been an increase in coordinated and armed settler attacks in Nablus in recent months. Mona Condil is a correspondent joining us from occupied Ramallah. Saden Nimmer is a professor of political science at Birzeit University, also joining us from Ramallah. Welcome to you both. So Mona Condil, it's the unfortunate death of these two brothers. Really, the pictures speak volumes. Tell us a little bit more about what happened there. And maybe it's a good time to ask you, if you can, Mona, since we're drawing this year on the Christian calendar to an end, as to why there has been such an uptick with the Palestinian lives being lost. At this point, I think it's well over 240 Palestinians that have lost their lives since the beginning of the year.
Well, the story is that Palestinians where a group of Palestinians or five brothers were returning back from Nablus. They were checking preparations for the wedding of their sister, and they were returning back from Nablus to Ramallah. Near the Israeli military checkpoint of Za'atara, their vehicle broke down, so they exited the vehicle, and they were trying to fix one of the vehicle's tire. But an Israeli settler deliberately ran his car into them, killing two brothers, Muhammad and Muhannad Mtir, from the Kalandia refugee camp. The Israeli military and the Israeli regime tried to show that what happened is only an accident, but it's pretty sure that it was ramming his vehicle. The settler has deliberately rammed his vehicle, knowing at the end of the day that even if he killed any Palestinian, none of the Israeli settlers or the Israeli soldiers would be sued for their crimes. At the time, the Israeli military continued to commit and insist to commit more crimes against the Palestinians, killing not only Palestinian fighters and members of resistance groups, but the Israeli forces have killed since the beginning of the year children, women, elderly, unarmed Palestinians. People were killed in cold blood, and even human rights organizations have accused the Israeli soldiers for committing crimes and killing people in cold blood. This is what happened last night in Nablus.
Saad Nimr, as our correspondent there said, killing these two in cold blood, but many Palestinians have been killed in cold blood over the past year especially. And my question to you is, this has occurred without the new administration really taking a hold of really ruling Israel, or Palestine, I should say. When we take a look at the very extreme, from what we understand, members that are going to be part of this, like the politician by the name of Ben-Gvir, are we looking at more attacks on Palestinians, given that this year clocked in a record amount to have been killed?
Yes, that's exactly what we are expecting. This year, it was really a bloody year for the Palestinians, and the number of Palestinians who were killed and became martyrs by the Israeli troops and the settlers is really unexpected and not comparable with any other year since 2005 till now, according to the United Nations report. So it's quite obvious that the Israeli are now running more and more into this clashes with the Palestinians by firing at the Palestinians without even thinking and without even any cause for this kind of killing for the Palestinians. And that's quite clear. What happened in Jenin just 2 weeks ago, killing three people, innocent people, normal people who were in the streets, just, you know, in the morning. And it's not even resistance. It's quite clear what happened last night and last evening in Nablus. And it's going on and on. The children have been killed, like, you know, also a week ago, this child, she was killed on the roof of her town and on her house. It's quite clear that this government anyway is taking all these atrocities. Now we are expecting even more with two personalities added to the new government, if Netanyahu declare it, Smotrich and Ben-Gvir. Ben-Gvir is going to take the responsibility for the security forces, including the police and the armed forces belong to the police, which is called the Borders Police. And Smotrich, he insisted that, and it's unprecedented before, that the defense ministry will have two ministers, one minister for the defense ministry, and the other one is only for the occupied territories and regarding the situation in the occupied territories. And it's appointed by Smotrich and his party. So now we are talking about, a more right-wing government. We are used to the atrocities by the Israelis because the whole country, or whatever it is called, It's a colonialist, racist regime, and always they do that. But now we are expecting a little bit more than before. So we don't, make a big difference between all these governments, because this is the policy of this racist colonialist state.
Thank you so much for that, Saad Nimr, professor of political science at Birzeit University. Monica Ndil, thank you so much, a correspondent there from occupied Ramallah. And with that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. Thanks for tuning in.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of radio.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 18th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through your emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, which I mention their names. Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, and Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain. So, Yusuf, Mizanur Rahman, and Juan, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL or electronic QSL card from us. And of course, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your letters. As I said, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco has sent us an email. From India, we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Hector Friyakhofre from Chile has sent us an email. Muhammad Aslam from India has sent us an email. And the last but not the least is an email from Ismo Kapi from Finland. So stay tuned, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. From Morocco, we've received an email from Yusuf Ben Meir. Let's see what Yusuf says. Dear IRIB English Radio staff, greetings. I know that the electronic card is easier to send, and I hope that things will improve as soon as possible. However, I prefer to receive a paper QSL card rather than an electronic one or an eQSL, and I hope that would be possible for you to send me one. I hope you're all fine. Greetings to you from Morocco. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, Yusuf from Morocco. Please accept our appreciations to you for this email. Here, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, I extend my congratulations to you, Yusuf from Morocco, for the remarkable performance of your national football team in Qatar World Cup. They were really great, your footballers. And please send our greetings to your fellow countrymen in Morocco. And Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco, regarding your request about sending you a paper QSL card, unfortunately, I should say that in the time of pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff is not possible. Maybe after the pandemic, we will go back on the track to send our great listeners around the world those souvenirs of the past. So, in the time being, please accept our EQSL as verification. So, thank you very much for this email, Yusuf Ben Meir from Morocco. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from India, we've received an email from Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Siddhartha Bhattacharji says, "Here, I submit audio file of your broadcast. Hope it will be a great help for you and your technicians. Kindly send me your program schedule, a calendar, sticker, and other promotional material. Hope all of your staff are safe." Salam and warm greetings to you, Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, one of our old and regular listeners. Thank you for your support and commitment to your favorite radio station, IRIB English Radio. And regarding your request about sending you the materials you requested, including the program schedule, calendar, sticker, and other promotional material, unfortunately, it is not possible in the time of pandemic. Maybe after the pandemic, as I said, we will get back on track and sending you, our great listeners, the materials you requested. And for the time being, you can refer to our website to receive the program schedule at www.parstoday.com/en. At the time being, please accept our EQSL as verification. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India. We wish you all the best and hope you are safe and fine. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. One of our old and regular listeners from Chile has sent us a piece of email, Hector Friahofre. Let's see what Hector says. "Dear friends of the IRIB English Radio, I send my greetings and also a report. I enclose to my email an audio clip confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or eQSL if it would be possible. Thank you in advance for all your efforts. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. And many thanks for this email, Hector Friahofre from Chile. Please accept our warm gratitude to you for this email. And we thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best, Hector. Write to us soon, please, and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. And again, from India, we've received an email, this time from Muhammad Aslam. Muhammad Aslam from India says, "Dear IRIB staff, thank you for giving a quick reply to your listeners. I appreciate your staff and the programs you air in shortwave every day. I'm glad that I can hear your radio since the reception is fine at my home. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, Muhammad Aslam from India. And please accept our warm appreciations to you for your support to IRIB English Radio. Wish you luck. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And please accept our electronic QSL or EQSL as verification to this email. Muhammad Aslam from India, thank you very much for this email. Welcome back, and from Finland, we've received an email from Ismo Kapi. Let's see what Ismo Kapi says. Greetings. I am happy to report that I hear IRIB English Radio quite clear in Finland. Please listen to the recording I made and attach to verify I heard you. My name is Ismo Kapi, and I am 57 years old from Finland. I am married and have three lovely children. I live in a small city 60 kilometers west from Helsinki, the capital of Finland. My hobby is DXing. It is the hobby of receiving and identifying distant radio or television signals. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Ismo Kapi, and thank you very much for this email. So, you live in a small city west of Helsinki. It's good to hear that the signals of IRIB English Radio are heard in that region, far away land. So, your hobby is DXing, but Ismo Kapi, please be our regular listener and tell us your views about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best at IRIB English Radio. Anyway, we wish you all the best, and please send our greetings to your lovely family. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, and my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as verification. Welcome back, and as I always say, art is long, but life is short. So, before saying goodbye to you and before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Yusuf Ben-Meir from Morocco, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Juan Antonio Bertolin from Spain, Hector Friahofre from Chile, and Siddhartha Bhattacharji from India, Muhammad Aslam again from India, and Ismo Kapi from Finland. Many thanks for being with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with our Abbey English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the Most Kind, the Most Merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We as believers, we accept God is Haqq. Whatever comes from God is haq, and therefore the planning of God is also haq, ahsant, yeah, is also the truth. And so there are three action points, you know, that come from this, that are really essential for us to understand about the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first is that we have to accept and submit to the plans of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to learn this. This is a really important characteristic to develop ourselves as human beings. Allah wants us to work. He does. He wants us to work hard. He wants us to put in the effort. He wants us to do all of these things. But then there is a point where it is beyond our control, right? I will study for an exam. I will go take that exam. But then beyond that, it's beyond my control how it goes, right? I go apply for a job, I do well, I dress well, I go and I sit for the interview. But beyond that is beyond my control. Allah says, you leave it to me at this point. I'm the best of planners. Now, accepting that God is the best of planners means that whatever then happens at the end result, I will be satisfied with it. Whether I get the job or I don't get the job, I have submitted to the fact that God is the best of planners. And so whatever decision the best of planner has made, the expectation is that we as believers submit to that, right? So that's a really important thing. You know, sometimes we will do things, we will go all out on things, and when then things don't go our way, we kind of lose our minds, we lose our composure, right? But this is where if we could just at that moment, just pause and remind ourselves that in this incident, is God not in control anymore? And of course He's in control, right? And so we submitted. You know, there's this hadith attributed to our sixth Imam As-Sadiq, alayhi afdalu salatu wassalam. Salli ala Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum, where he is reported to have been asked, فَقِيلَ لَهُ بِمَا عَرَفْتَ رَبَّكَ. He said, well, by what did you know your Lord? How did you know your Lord? The Imam alayhi salam was asked. And he answered in this very beautiful way, really thought-provoking way. You know, he said, بِفَسْخِ الْعَزْمِ وَنَقْضِ الْهَمِ. Yeah. He says, I knew my Lord when my plans, my resolutions were broken apart. And the invalidations of my plans, whatever I had decided was invalidated. And then the Imam alayhi salam continues. He said, "Azamtu fafusikha azmi, wa hamamtu fanuqidha hammi." He says, "I planned and my plans were stopped, and I was going for something, and it didn't work out." He says, "This is how I know Allah exists." Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Yeah, think about that. And we would look at that as something not positive. No, where is Allah? But Allah is saying, I'm there, right? Like, you know, there used to be this thing that I had in my house back home, back in California, and I'm sure we've all seen this. You know, it's the footprints in the sand. Have you guys seen that poster of the footprints in the sand? It's really cool, right? Like, there you see footprints on the sand, and you see two sets of footprints. And then after a while, it becomes one set only. And so there's a conversation, and this person is talking to God. He said, God, you were with me this whole time, right? But as soon as things began to go bad for me, you abandoned me. Look, I'm walking alone, right? When things didn't go my way, you left me. I'm walking alone. And God said, I was carrying you at that time. Yeah? Allah does not abandon us. The changing of plans, the cancellation of plans, things don't go our way, does not mean that God does not care about us. Rather, that is maybe the one of the greatest indications of how much Allah loves us, that He stops something from happening for us. Yeah? So that's the first understanding. That when we accept that God is the best of planners, we have to submit to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what He's doing. And this is something that I hope that we can learn. The second point that comes from this is that we have to try and reflect about what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me in this particular plan, right? When something happens, there are, in many instances, like when something happens, it doesn't just affect one person, right? It affects many people. Like COVID affected the entire world, right? And so we can try to understand the wisdom behind why it would happen. And I don't think it's necessarily possible to understand, though there are understandings that we can get. We can never understand the full wisdom behind it, right? But in no matter what happens, there is always a personal connection to each and every one of us, no matter what happens. And it's our job to figure out, what does God want from me in this particular situation, right? COVID happened. It affected everybody. But I have to sit and reflect that, what does God want me to learn from this particular situation, right? What does He want from me? Someone falls ill. I fall ill. A loved one falls ill. Tragic, right? It's not nice. But what does Allah want me to learn in this particular situation? We have accepted that God is the best of planners. Therefore, something will not happen without there being some form of benefit associated for me, or some type of protection associated for me, or some type of lesson associated for me, right? And so it's my responsibility to sit and reflect. Again, we go back to being individuals who are reflective. We think, and I promise you, when we think, God will guide us, right? And so that's the second responsibility that we have. The first one is to accept and submit. Second one, to try to figure out, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me? The third area is to utilize the skill and the gift of planning in our own lives, right? Be planners. Be people who are organized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this gift. It's a tremendous benefit, right? It's a tremendous gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. You know, there's nothing like being organized. Yeah? I love organized people. You know, I am very, I always want to know what's kind of happening, you know, and how it's going to happen. And I think when having a vision is positive, and so be people who are organized, but, and have a plan, but not only for dunya. I think this is where we fall short in our lives, you know. The most important area, yeah, here, look at me. The most important area, yeah, that we have to plan for, yeah, is planning for the hereafter. Yeah? We started with that. We come back to that. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us the skill of planning, the gift of planning. Why? Not so that we can make multi-million dollars in this world. No. so that we can plan for our akhirah. This is the number one job we have after accepting, understanding, and then acting. Acting for what? Acting for our akhirah. When we look at the verses of the Quran, one of the main realities that is being made apparent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the ones who are successful in the hereafter are those who planned for it. Yeah? This is important. Yeah? We're not going to just randomly, by luck, end up in Jannah. No, we're going to have to work for it. We're going to have to plan for it. Yeah.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمن
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
In the limelight.
After former U.S. President Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the 2024 presidential election, GOP senators seem to be deeply divided concerning his bid for re-election. While criticizing Trump's character and poor performance, majority of Republicans say that there are better options for the Republican nomination. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Hill newspaper has covered this story. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy has rejected former U.S. President Donald Trump as the leader of the Republican Party and said the party should shift away from his influence in the future following an unsatisfactory performance of several candidates that Donald Trump supported in the recent midterm elections. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy said on Saturday, 10th of December, that he rejects the premise that he's the leader of the Republican Party and noted that the Republican Party could elect a new leader. Bill Cassidy said, "The Republican Party does not have a president in the office right now. It does not have anybody who's obviously not my leader." Donald Trump has been under fire from within the Republican Party after the 8th of November midterm elections, the elections turning into a complete disappointment for the party. Trump is seen as largely to blame for the Republicans' disappointing performance in the midterm elections. Following the elections on 8th of November, the Republican Party failed to win control of the Senate and underperformed in races across the country. The Democrats now control the Senate and Republicans won the House of Representatives by a narrow margin. Republicans are questioning whether Donald Trump should continue as the party's leader, pointing to his toxic political message as the common thread woven through three consecutive lackluster election cycles. Donald Trump announced a 2024 presidential bid recently and has since faced criticism for new controversies. A majority of American voters in a recent opinion poll said Trump should definitely not run for the White House again. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy had voted to convict Trump after the House impeached him for a second time after the January 6, 2021 riots at the Capitol. Bill Cassidy on Saturday urged the Republican Party to speak about the future rather than fixating on issues of the past. Cassidy said, "We're led by principles, we're led by kind of concepts. A right-of-center party which thinks that smaller government, that individual responsibility, that free markets is more likely to bring prosperity to a family and prosperity to our country. If we are responsible to those principles, then we win." Donald Trump has said that the 6th of January 2021 riot represented the greatest movement in the history of our country, when thousands of people marched against the certification of the 2020 presidential election, which placed Joe Biden in office as current president. Trump claimed that he won the 2020 presidential election and that there was massive voter fraud. Bloomberg News Agency has also covered the same story. Donald Trump escalated his battle of wills with the Republican Party by declaring his candidacy for the White House in 2024, just as many GOP faithful are ready to abandon the former president. Defying his party's growing desire to find a new standard bearer, Donald Trump gathered his staunchest supporters at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida recently for a nationally televised announcement that revived many of the themes of grievance that marked his previous two campaigns. Trump claimed, "2 years ago we were a great nation, and soon we will be a great nation again." Yet his bravado rang hollow just a week after Republicans fell short of party expectations in the midterm elections, missing a chance to retake the U.S. Senate and win a significant majority in the House of Representatives. Trump had sought to use the midterm elections to tighten his grip on the Republican Party ahead of his entry into the presidential race. That gambit backfired as Trump's favored candidates floundered in key races, with voters rejecting almost all of those who espoused his claims that the 2020 presidential election was stolen from him. Many Republicans blame him for the lackluster performance of the Republicans, leaving him vulnerable to the primary challenges he had hoped to box out. GOP leaders and donors are now signaling that they're eager to fall in line behind Florida Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, a chief target of Trump's ire before his declaration. Even Donald Trump's daughter Ivanka, who served in his first administration, suggested that she had no appetite for another round. Blackstone Inc. chief executive officer and Republican donor Stephen Schwarzman also said recently that he won't be backing Donald Trump's new bid. Stephen Schwarzman said in a statement, "America does better when its leaders are rooted in today and tomorrow, not today and yesterday. It is time for the Republican Party to turn to a new generation of leaders, and I intend to support one of them in the presidential primaries." CNN has also covered the same story. Donald Trump acknowledged the criticism that Republicans should have done better in the midterm elections, but said it was because voters haven't yet realized the full extent of the nation's problems under current President Joe Biden. Trump said, "I have no doubt that by 2024 it will sadly be much worse, and they will see much more clearly what happened and what is happening to our country, and the voting will be much different." He also squarely took aim at Joe Biden's biggest vulnerabilities, inflation and rising energy prices. Despite being politically wounded, Trump, a 76-year-old, still starts the race as a favorite for the GOP nomination. He is seeking to become only the second president to win another term after losing re-election since Grover Cleveland in 1892. Ron DeSantis has emerged in straw polls as the clear second choice of GOP primary voters behind Donald Trump, and he elevated his 2024 prospects with a recent landslide re-election victory. Alex Conant, a senior advisor for Senator Marco Rubio's 2016 presidential campaign, said that given Trump a formidable rival within the party for the first time, Citadel's billionaire founder Ken Griffin, who has backed Ron DeSantis, recently called Trump a three-time loser and said he hoped the former president would see the writing on the wall and not run for the 2024 presidential race. Donald Trump has taken to calling the Florida governor Ronda Sanctimonious in recent weeks and released a nearly 500-word screed against him and Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation for the media conglomerates mocking and criticizing Trump in the wake of the midterm elections. Senator Kevin Cramer of North Dakota said the GOP now belongs to Ron DeSantis. Senator Cramer said, obviously, the guys that are assuming the spotlight right now is Ron DeSantis, and he's earned it.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Role of arrogant powers, policies, and recent bitter events in Iran is obvious. This is the part of speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on October 3, 2022, during the joint graduation ceremony for the cadets studying in the academies of the Islamic Republic of Iran's armed forces. This ceremony was held in Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam University of Officer and Police Training. And now, for a few words about recent events. In the incident that took place, a young girl passed away. Well, it was a bitter event. It saddened me very much too. But the right reaction to this incident before investigations could take place, before anything was certain yet, was not for some to come and make the streets insecure. It was not to create insecurity for people, to disrupt security, burn the Quran, pull off women's scarves, and to set fire to mosque, Husseiniyah's banks, and people's cars. This kind of reaction to a case which was unfortunate was not normal. This was not a natural response. These riots had been planned. If the incident with the young girl had not taken place, they would have found another excuse to create insecurity and riots in the country in the beginning of the month of May or September this year. Who designed these plans?
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I openly state that these schemes were designed by the US, the usurping fake Zionist regime, and their mercenaries. They sat down and planned. They devised these schemes. Their employees, mercenaries, wage earners, and some treasonous Iranians abroad helped them. Sometimes, when I say a certain event was planned by a foreign enemy, some are very sensitive to the term foreign enemy. When I say such and such was the work of foreigners, it was carried out by foreign enemies, some quickly jump to the defense of the US and Zionist intelligence services. They use all sorts of fallacious analysis and rhetoric to try to show that foreigners were not in any way involved in that event. Riots take place all the time around the world. If you look at Europe, especially France, massive riots occur every now and then on the streets of Paris. I want to ask you, has the US President or the US House of Representatives ever supported European rioters? Have they ever issued a statement saying, "We stand with you"?
You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.